Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
And that was Ketiwe Sitoleteo talking to us this morning. We've got Mfundisi Mvunelo joining us on the line now as we talk the role of religion in the family. What is the purpose of religion? Have you ever asked that question to say, what did God intend for religion to do in the families when he gave us religion? And that's what we're going to be looking at answering this morning with Pastor Amias Mvunelo, who joins us now on the line. Good morning, my pastor, and welcome once again to Adventist World Radio.
Good morning, Derek. Good morning to the glorious morning listeners. And I'm delighted to be with Adventist World Radio this morning again.
Thank you so much, my pastor. We truly appreciate you tuning in and you're joining us on the line as well as we talk some of these matters. Mfundisi, we're going to be talking this morning the role of religion in the family. And we've been asking the listeners as well to say, which came first? And I know it's a bit of a otherwise question, a philosophical question, even if you will. Which came first, religion or family?
All right. We need to understand from a, at least from a biblical perspective,
okay,
that when we talk about family and religion, we are not talking about inseparable things and things that are necessarily
mutually exclusive. Okay.
When God created from the very first go, when God created, in fact, let me take it to pre-creation. I always like to understand things from behind the scenes, what
has
happened.
All right.
It is clear that God had family in mind as he creates humanity. It is clear that already before God creates humanity, before Adam and Eve is created, God has family. And so as Adam and Eve come forth from the hand of God, they are created to be a family. They are created to be a family to each other.
Okay.
And you then have a situation where after the story of creation, or as the first week of creation goes, they are the last thing that God creates before there is worship on Sabbath. So God creates them with worship in mind. It's like the Sabbath, or the worship, or the spirituality is the pinnacle of everything God wants to do.
Okay.
We clearly get that from Scripture. That Scripture does not. Remember, we spoke about the other day about the fact that family and the family is an illustration of God's purpose.
All right. Yes, I remember that. Yes.
Yeah. So God does not, he creates the family with that in mind. He wants the family to remain an object lesson. He wants the family to remain an illustration of what he wants to do with us. We can get into details about it another time, but the point is simply this. God creates humanity with a partnership in mind, with adoption in mind. And it's clear from Paul's writing that adoption is what God has in mind as he creates you. There's another writer who says God created humanity to expand the family of heaven.
Okay. Actually, that's an interesting one.
Yeah, so that's the connection. From the word go, from the beginning, God has that in mind. So one must be careful not to think them of as separate things. They are, they are connected.
And I like that, Mfundisi, because in there you hint something that's quite interesting, to say that God created the human family to also model in the model of the heavenly family. So there was already a family existing in heaven.
Yes.
When the human family. So family is a notion that predates Earth's history.
Yeah.
And I would even want to.
In fact, God, the Scripture speaks of God in familial terms. Father, Son, and all of that. So that's the kind of thing that we are that is driven by Scripture. In summary, you could call it God with us, but it will take a while to explain
to explain
other people
that.
To see the connection. Mm-hmm. But the idea is God wanted to build a relationship with humanity forever.
Okay.
And he is going to do that eventually. We know it's a movie we've watched before it. We know the end. So it's going to realize that whole familyness that God wanted to create, realize from the beginning. And so it's an important aspect for us to grasp that it is family and spirituality are inseparable.
They are intertwined, actually, and you cannot have the one without the other. And the moment you do that, you will start seeing how incomplete that one alone is without the other. I like that,
yes.
My pastor. I like that. But maybe talk to us then as to when God then, since you're saying the Godhead in itself has familial attributes assigned to it or coming out from it, what then is, especially as you look at the human family, what is the role, what is the purpose that God intended for religion to serve in the human family? What was its purpose? Why did he give religion when he gave this family?
Now, there's a term I'm reluctant to use, but it probably explains it better.
Okay.
Because I'm skeptical because of the implications and I'm one person who wants to drive this anti-legalism. Mm. But the term I want to use is to regulate. You know, ask a question, that's a minefield, but I want to just zero in on the regulatory reason of religion in the faith.
All right.
By that, I don't mean simply rules. I want to explain that it is guidance, and within that there is the empowerment, because when we cannot do it, there is the element of empowerment. God empowers us to realize these things. So let's talk about the religion that is, religion as regulatory.
Okay.
So first of all, religion gives us guidance and advises us and mentors us into becoming this family of God, into becoming this family that we are. First of all, it tells us from the beginning God's intention is that there will be husband and wife, and that there will be that they would produce children. That is part of the regulatory framework.
Okay.
But also, even in things like your how do they relate? I'm just thinking, for example, if you look, and I was thinking earlier on, maybe I should take you, when you asked that question, I should take you through the Ten Commandments and show the family aspect. Mm. But maybe let me show just the family aspects without the details.
Okay.
For example, while you have this family that you have, you are given a husband as husband and wife, the Bible then says, listen, don't desire and sleep with other people's wives. Don't desire other people's spouses. Mm-hmm, sleep around with other people's husbands.
Yes.
That's the kind of regulation, regulatory framework it gives.
That reason brings the family. Okay.
Yeah, it says you're going to cause serious friction in the society if you are going to be caught up in those. If there will be adultery, there will be desiring of other people's spouses. It also regulates the parent-child relationship. It says, when you have parents, must be respected by children. Paul also explains in his writings about the fact that children themselves must not be irritated by parents. So the whole family is kind of, it's regulated by, it's directed and guided by how it should behave. Again, using Paul, I like to make the examples about sexuality simply because our cultures have misled us in issues of sexuality. So there's a need for us to clarify and correct some of the misconceptions. So it, for example, says that that your the sexual relations between a husband and wife are such that they should not deny each other sexual privileges. And it goes to an extent of saying you are each other's bodies. The husband belongs to the wife and so on and so forth. But it is important for us to grasp, and I know some people will say on the basis of that, let me demand sexual privileges. That's not what it says.
Okay.
Simply says you must do it. You must not use it. I usually say when I counsel couples, don't weaponize sex. Don't use it as part of your fight. When you have a fight with each other, try and resolve the fight. Don't use sex as a weapon against each other. So the Bible regulates that. The Bible also regulates the way we, it says husbands should love their wives.
Mm-hmm.
And wives should respect their husbands.
Okay.
Now, again, it is not asking you to demand this. For example, to say, you as a husband must love me. You don't love me. So it is not asking you to demand. It is simply guiding a husband to be more loving and to also guide the wife to be more respectful. It's not asking the husband to demand it. That's not what it is.
Okay.
So you can see that if we were to follow the scriptural regulatory framework, the guidance of scripture, we would be definitely more romantic, Derek. We would be more loving, more tender with each other.
Yeah.
But again, the problem is legalism makes it dry. Spirituality with legalism becomes dry and dead. But God's idea is really simple. You are getting into a relationship I know I created. Here is the framework. How do you relate to each other? How do you avoid certain pitfalls? I know that you are. If you are in an adulterous relationship, it's going to cause problems. I know that the difficulties in sexuality could lead to problems. So here is somebody who knows what he has created and providing guidance as to how.
Yes.
Yeah, some people think of God as a manufacturer who gives
a manual.
User's manual. But basically, the religion or God or biblical spirituality regulates that kind of thing so that you are able to manage it from that point of view and able to handle it. I mean, it details things like don't let the sun go down with you being angry with each other and so on. So those are kind of things that the Bible does or religion does to regulate the relationships within the family context.
But is it, are these, when you look at it, I mean, you're a pastor and you've been one for a while. When you look at the work that religion is supposed to do, especially in the family context, would you say these objectives are being met, these regulatory objectives and the purpose that God intended? Is it being achieved in our families?
There are two sides to the story.
Okay.
One, it is the side where people have decided to follow the biblical model and are empowered by the Spirit. And for those people, it is working. There are people who have decided it is religion is not for me. You know, there are people who just reject religion and don't want their... And in part, again, it's because of our particular understanding that has made it difficult for people to appreciate religion. Mm. Because some people, for them, religion is restrictive. You know, people say to you, no, I don't like religion. Religion restricts me.
True.
Religion controls me. Religion tells me what to do. Again, it's our problem.
Mm.
But if we were to... And we're going to talk again on Friday on how the worship experience, the Sabbath even helps us to have better families, because it's a religious practice, But again, if it is kept with so much rigidity, it becomes unpleasant.
Yes,
it becomes dry.
Yes.
Now, spirituality is supposed to make life pleasant. It is supposed to make life a delight. It is supposed to make life enjoyable. But again, it is not always handled with that approach. It is handled with so much rigidity, coldness, and failure to appreciate what it is
about. What it's about. I like that, Mfundisi. Maybe in a minute, Mfundisi, if you could just tell us what we can then do. And I hear it's a matter of choice, like you're putting it across there. Because, I mean, because of people, when they look on these families which are supposed to have religion and it's not working for them, you then end up hearing people saying, you know what, that's not for me. In fact, marriage doesn't work. I mean, giving an example of one of the things you gave as an example, sexuality and them, it doesn't work for me because look at how it doesn't work for people who have it and so forth. What can we then do to ensure this will work for us and that we can leave a better example for those coming up after us?
Yeah, I think what we need to do, in my mind, is twofold, but it's a very simple formula,
okay,
but very complex in its application.
Mm.
One, I think we need to deepen true spirituality and lessen legalism and moralism that we use. So we need to go back to, I mean, Christianity, Christ himself, is about love.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
If anything that we would say we have achieved what we wanted to realize, or what religion or Christianity specifically wanted to realize, it is to be more loving people.
Yes, yes.
So if we were to deepen that, it will change the way we approach our marriages, the way we approach everything that we do.
Mm.
We would lessen the effect of rule-based, I mean, you even have rule-based love that people created. It drives up everything. But true spirituality kindles it up. Like I said, you become more romantic. The more you look at God, the more you interact with this loving God,
the more
you understand this loving God, you will then be more loving and more tender, more gentle, more kind. In fact, the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it calls it the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes,
in other words, we will get to a stage where the Spirit has been rooted in our lives, that we become loving, we become gracious, we become kind, we become all these good things that you need in marriage. So if we were to deepen spirituality, and it's a long way, as I said, it's complex. If we were to deepen spirituality in our lives, and really get closer to God, we would be able to transform our marriages. We would be transformed ourselves by this love. The Bible says, by beholding, we become changed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, John is one person who talks a lot about love one another and all of that. So we would really become different because of those.
Oh, okay. We just immediately lost the pastor right there. Maybe let me just see if I can quickly grab him so that we can close off the conversation. We're almost at the end anyway. We're actually kind of running a bit late. But Mfundisi was talking to us there how important it is to have religion. And I love how he's bringing across the importance of having a connection with the Maker himself. It'd be pointless to connect with religion from with the religion alone without the one who made the religion. It won't work without the owner of the religion. And I love that aspect of it, to say we have to connect with God himself. Mfundisi, we lost you for a second there.
Yeah, we got cut. So,
I was just saying, Mfundisi, if you can just give us this closing remark, as we are a bit over time already. Yeah,
so religion has great potential to transform the family.
Yes.
If it is appropriated or received in a in its intended way, where we will learn to become loving people, we will learn to be gracious people, we would learn to be kind, and we would realize God's ideals for the family and religion.
I was actually telling the listeners, Mfundisi, as you got cut there, to say what I'm hearing you saying is that religion will never work for us if we want to apply it by itself. We have to connect with the one who gave us religion for religion to work for us. And I love that. I love that conclusion. Thank you, Mfundisi Wami, for just being with us today. We'll chat again tomorrow in the very same segment, Daily Focus.
Thank you very much, Derek.
Thank you. God bless you. Pastor Amias Mvunela, right, they're talking to us this week regarding religion and family. And today we were looking at the role of religion. What is the purpose of religion? And why is it seeming like it's not working? And he says it's because we are ignoring the maker. We're ignoring the one who gave us the religion, the one who is religion himself. The religion must be about God. We cannot have religion without God. This is why you then end up having these constructs that people try to bring across. You, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. Because we're misunderstanding what religion is all about. It's about God. And God, absent from religion, gives it a rigid form that leaves an ugly taste in the mouth. May that not be our portion. Here's a one that's coming by popular demand. Umthandazo. This is Musa featuring Beyond Vocal. One of the latest one. Actually, it's coming just here, made recently in July when it came out. It's hot off the press. Umthandazo. And this is featuring Beyond Vocal. I'm praying that it gives you a sense of what we're trying to talk about this morning as we go through this beautiful discussion that we're having this morning. And we're preparing, of course, to chat to Mfundisi Wethu, Pastor Mthunzi Phane, who's going to be joining us in just a few.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.